Hey everybody, welcome to the August 5th edition of Project 4-4. My name is Mark Ashton, lead pastor at Christ Community Church, and today we take a break from the book of Jeremiah to take a look at another prophet by the name of Habakkuk, who wrote a book that was only 3 chapters long but has profound insight into the question, why is there so much suffering and evil in this world? You may remember from our Mr. Rogers Accelerator from yesterday that the Babylonians were sweeping in and were taking over every country, including Egypt and the Philistines that were right next door. And Habakkuk is asking the question, God, of all of the people in the world, the Babylonians are ruthless, evil people. Why would you use them as an instrument of your destruction, and why do we have to pay the penalty at their hands? Well, we don't know much about the prophet Habakkuk. We don't know the name of his father or the town from which he originally hailed. The plain fact is that we don't know anything about Habakkuk except that he was a man who was incredibly bold and was honest about his questions. You know, pretty much all of us have asked that question at one time or another, haven't we? Why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? What kind of possible explanation could there be for that? Well, he begins to ask that question. And with that much background in hand, let's proceed to think for a while about what we've read today. The book divides itself quite readily into 5 parts. It's a record of Habakkuk's dialogue with God. Part 1, which takes up just the first 4 verses of Habakkuk, Habakkuk makes his complaint to God. He's upset because of God's judgment which is about to come. And Jeremiah and all the other prophets have been speaking of for so long. The Babylonians are coming, he could be heard crying. And he's saying, God, come on, your reputation is at stake here. People are sinning like crazy, but they don't deserve what's coming from the Babylonians. The good guys are getting beaten up, and the wicked are the ones who are doing it. Well, in part 2, which takes the next 6 verses or so, Habakkuk gets an answer from God, but it's definitely not the answer that he's looking for. God basically says, stand back and watch, Habakkuk, because I'm about to bring about that judgment that I've been promising for a long time. In fact, I am going to use this cruel, rapacious people, the Babylonians, to do this. Well, part 3 takes up the remainder of chapter 1. Habakkuk's big problem with God now has become even bigger. Lord, he fairly screams, you're supposed to be holy. You're so pure, your eyes can't even behold the sight of evil. How in the world can you justify punishing disobedient Judah with an instrument that's of such wickedness and godlessness like Babylonia? And by the way, Lord, I'm going to sit right here until you answer that question. Sometimes I thought it'd be poetic for God to just let him sit there for a while and see what happens. But in part 4, the Lord responds to Habakkuk, assuring him that justice has not been forgotten, and that all the evils of the Babylonians will be noted and will be judged when the Lord has finished using Nebuchadnezzar for the purposes that he has appointed Nebuchadnezzar. Then part 5 of the book is found in chapter 3. It's Habakkuk's own response to what the Lord has shown him. It's a response of faith based on a thorough acquaintance with the mighty acts of God. Well, that gives us an outline of the book of Habakkuk, but it doesn't really help us answer that very real question that's in your heart and my heart. God, why do you allow so much suffering and evil? I mean, this subject matter couldn't be more relevant in the 21st century. Every single first-year student of philosophy should be asking this question and reading this book Habakkuk, and every believer in Jesus should be reading this book Habakkuk for insight as well. I don't know if you've seen what God was saying to Habakkuk, but ultimately he's saying, Habakkuk, I'm omnipotent, you aren't. I'm omniscient, you aren't. I'm good, you aren't. And it's precisely because I'm all of these things that you can relax and let me be in charge. Trust me to work things out in the ways that you could never imagine. God's saying, look, Habakkuk, you know who I am and you know my record, so trust me. I think the last verse in chapter 2 sums it up really well. It says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. So you can ask the question, as a philosophy student, why doesn't God eliminate more suffering and evil in this world? I mean, imagine if suffering and evil were like this. Imagine if it was a bar graph. It looks something like this. And this is the sum of all suffering and evil that there is in the world. Some of us ask the question, God, why don't you at least eliminate the worst part of the suffering evil, the worst 10%. You know, why don't you get rid of, say, cancer or nuclear war or birth defects or whatever we think is in that worst kind of category of evils in the world. God, why don't you just, by your sovereignty, wave a magic wand and get rid of those things? Well, let's imagine if God did that. What would we be asking? We'd be saying, God, why don't you get rid of the worst 10% of all of the evils that are in this world? Because we wouldn't be aware of these evils up here. We would be looking at the next set of evils that were there. And so, you know, we would be saying, God, why don't you get rid of, let's say, wars? And why don't you get rid of Alzheimer's and the other things? And if God did get rid of those things, what would happen? We'd still be left looking at evil saying, God, why don't you get rid of the next 10%? And it goes all the way down until you're saying, okay, God, why don't you get rid of the next set of evils, like telemarketers and dental appointments and other things like that? Some people even ask the question, God, well, why don't we just push the graph all the way down? Why don't we ask God to get rid of everything in this world? Well, let me ask you this question. If at the stroke of midnight tonight, God got rid of all of the evil that there is in the world, how many of us would be left tomorrow to experience that world without evil? Because I'm a mixed bag of good and evil. You are too. If God got rid of all evil, well, that would mean that you and I would be gone as well. One other thought on this subject is we don't know just how much evil there is that God's already holding back. The Bible indicates that God is in fact holding back evil in this world, but we don't know just how much he's holding back. As a matter of fact, this graph could be like all the way 40 feet high, and we're only experiencing this small amount of evil, and God's holding back the rest of the potential evil that's out there. I don't know about you, but I can think of worse diseases. And I can imagine worse wars and violence that aren't happening in this world. Well, maybe they're not happening because God is actively holding them back. That's why God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, you need to trust me as the sovereign God of the universe. You need to be able to know for sure that I'm the one who is in charge. That last verse of chapter 2 again, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Because compared to God, we really have nothing to say when it comes to the problem of evil. Well, now that you've become well acquainted with the little-known prophet named Habakkuk, it's my guess that you'll come back and visit him again and again. I know I go back and visit him every time the world looks unjust to me. This has been Mark Ashton praying God's blessings on you.